From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, he continues a message called Minor Men with a Major Message, part of this series in the book of Judges. Immediately following the judgeship of Jephthah, Judges chapter 8 records the administrations of three men, Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon. In spite of the brevity of the accounts, the Holy Spirit's comments on each man teach us a number of important lessons. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is highlighting seven areas of vital truth, the first of which is the need to learn the proper use of God-given opportunity. Next, we've seen that ministers of the Word are God's greatest gift to a nation. Then, we learn the need for every area of our lives to be brought under the rule of God. Another emphasis is the importance of family life in the work and service of God. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Precious Things. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 13. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath. We may be rich in such things as Joseph obtained, and we may have them in a higher sense. Oh, for the precious things of heaven! Power with God and the manifestation of power from God are most precious. We would enjoy the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the glory of our God. The benediction of the three divine persons in love and grace and fellowship we prize beyond the most fine gold. The things of earth are as nothing in preciousness compared with the things of heaven. The dew. How precious is this! How we pray and praise when we have the dew. What refreshing, what growth, what perfume, what life there is in us when the dew is about. Above all things else, as plants of the Lord's own right hand planting, we need the dew of His Holy Spirit. The deep that coucheth beneath. Surely this refers to that unseen ocean underground which supplies all the fresh springs which make glad the earth. Oh, to tap the eternal fountains! This is an unspeakable boon. Let no believer rest till he possesses it. The all-sufficiency of Jehovah is ours forever. Let us resort to it now.
Hallelujah.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. As you gather with family and friends to observe this Christmas season, we hope you will keep Christ at the center of your festivities. From all of us at the ministry of Let the Bible Speak, we wish for you and yours a most blessed Christmas. Now, with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
God showed his favor to Israel in this critical time in their existence as a nation. He didn't shut up heaven. He didn't leave them without a witness, but he constantly raised up through these 400 years of the period of the judges, he raised up men who would stand in his name, with his word, with his law, and with his message. They were ministers of the word of God. I tell you, my friend, that is the single greatest example or proof that God can give in any day of his purpose of favor to a nation when he raises up men who are faithful to this book, men who will preach the law and the gospel, mind you, there needs to be a preaching of both. You'll never understand the one without the other. Men who will exalt Christ, men who will have the fire of the Holy Ghost in their heart and have the courage of their convictions and blaze a trail for God across the nation. When God raises up men like that, then you have the token of God's favor for a nation. We need to be praying that God will raise up preachers who will bring church and nation to the Word of God. When there's a famine of the Word, when the heavens are closed, when God is not calling men to the ministry, when you have got men in the ministry who are there for a job, men who are there because of some carnal reasoning, but they're not there by the imperative of a divine call, then you know that these are sad days when the nation is more and more coming under the judgment of God. The third lesson we can learn from these three judges is the need for every area of our lives to be brought under the rule of the Word of God. Notice very carefully here these three men. Ibzan ruled from Bethlehem. Now that's the south of the nation. You look at a map of Israel, that's the south. Elon, he ruled in Zebulun, that's in the north. And then Abdon from Ephraim was right in the middle. Now, the geographical distribution is very, very important here. Let's look at Ibzan. He ruled in the south. Now, there hadn't been many judges in the south, and the reason for that was very simple. The judges concentrated in other places because in the south there was far less defection from the worship of the Lord than there was in the northern part of the country. But at this time, the south was facing a powerful Philistine threat. The armies of the Philistines were gathering. And again, if you look at a map, you'll find that both Bethlehem and Jerusalem are not really very far, nor Hebron indeed. In fact, I think Hebron's only about 40 miles from Gaza, one of the great cities of the Philistines. They were all near hand, and the threat was gathering. The message is very clear. We cannot rest on past blessings. We can thank God for those blessings. And if you're among those who, by the grace of God, have not been part of the slide, the backslide into sin and worldliness, yet you're bound to see that your life is threatened. Your spiritual life is threatened. Your home life is threatened. Your testimony is threatened. You are not at any time far from the opposing forces that are against you. And you, as it were, in the south, need to be brought under the Word of God. Then we think of Elon in the north. Now, the north had had many judges. Deborah's influence stretched over this part, and so did Gideon's influence. But this northern section was notorious for Baal worship. You may recollect that soon after Gideon died, in fact, you would take it from the scriptural record, that just about as soon as Gideon died, in fact, that's what it says, 8:33, as soon as Gideon was dead, the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam. So just as quickly as they could, they were back into Baal worship. Now, they were Israelites. They professed the name of the Lord. They had seen revival under Gideon. They had seen the power of God. They had seen the enemy defeated. They had seen the impotence of Baal. They had seen the glory of the Lord, all under Gideon's ministry. And yet, they had this awful propensity to fall away. There was a weakness there. They needed the ministry of judges. There are many people who are saved even, not just professors, but they're saved. And they have inherent weaknesses. You look at your own heart tonight, and you may find that there is in you a natural weakness whereby you constantly seem to be falling into the same pit. It appears that every time the Lord does you good, he brings you forward as he did these northern tribes under Gideon. He gives you blessing. He shows you his grace. He lets you see something of the majesty and the glory of Christ. And it seems, my, I'm on the crest of the wave. I can never fall away. And then, before you know it, you're back to the old ways, missing out with God, going into sin, sullying your testimony, getting cold in your heart. You have an inbred weakness. And I would say that there's not a Christian here that doesn't have, because he has the old nature within him, doesn't have that awful propensity to sin. We're prone to wander. We need the judging work of the Word of God. We need, and particularly in those areas where we are naturally at our weakest, we need to bring ourselves constantly to the Word. We need to be standing before the judge, which is the Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. What is it? It is a critic. It is a judge of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We need to bring our thoughts to the Word and let God's Word judge them. We need to bring our feelings to the Word and let the Word of God judge those feelings. We need to bring our activities to the Word of God and let the Word of God judge those activities. Remember, the northern tribes, with their weakness, their propensity to feel God, God's answer is to bring in the judge. We need that part of our lives to be brought under the Word. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you have been like the northern tribes, you have wandered far away from God, my friend, there's not a better place and there's not a better time to get before your God and say, Lord, I'm coming home. Your Word judges my sin. Then Abdon ruled right in the midsection of the country. That area of Ephraim had felt the power of Deborah also. It had also known the ministry of Tola. The interesting thing about this midsection of the country is that it was the area in which the tabernacle was pitched. And do you see the need for constant judgeships there? That tabernacle at Shiloh was the scene of the wickedness of Eli's sons. Without getting into the intricacies of the dating of the book of Judges, there are some who believe that the wickedness of Eli's sons may already have taken place by the time Abdon came to judge. But certainly, you can see the message. It's the same message as 1 Peter 4:17. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. The very place where the tabernacle's pitched. Sometimes that's where our greatest sin takes place. You get to the place, the holy place of communion with God. We sin by prayerlessness. We sin by trivializing the things of God. We sin by ignoring the Word of God. We sin very often, like Eli's sons, by our wickedness, our compromise with the world, Eli's sons were fornicators and adulterers. But James the Apostle, he says when he's writing to the Christians of his day, do you not know that friendship with the world is spiritual adultery and it's enmity with God? And when you bring the world into the holy place, into the church, and when you bring the church into the world, and when you destroy the altar of prayer, and when you knock down the judgment seat of the Word of God in your life, then you are dealing with the sins of the tabernacle, the sins of the holy place. These are particularly dangerous. We need every area of our lives to be brought under the rule of the Word of God. The fourth lesson we can learn from these men, maybe I should say the fourth of random thoughts, would be the importance of family life in the service and worship of God. You'll notice that Ibzan and Abdon both have references to their homes. Ibzan, with his 30 sons and 30 daughters. Abdon with his 40 sons and 30 grandsons that rode in the 70 ass colts. Elon is not noted as having any sons or daughters. But you'll notice that at least in two of these, there's an emphasis on the family, an emphasis on the home. I think that when you read these details, there is, first of all, implicit that these were important families. They were undoubtedly important families. And God must have made that known to the people in such a way that these men were elevated to the judgeship. They were unlike Gideon and Jephthah and Othniel and Shamgar and Ehud, men who rose to eminence by military might. These men didn't have anything of that nature to single them out. There must have been something that the Lord did or said to indicate that these were the men. And I think that undoubtedly in two of these cases, there is a hint that they were important in their families. The importance of family life. But I think with all that there is a hint of the weakness in their family life, even in the best of homes. You see, when you're talking about 30 sons and 30 daughters and 40 sons, you're talking about polygamy. Multiple wives. And while that was tolerated, it was undoubtedly a seed of decay in the whole social and religious structure of Israel. Also, there seems to have been an undue emphasis upon wealth and worldly position. These are judges who, like Gideon before them, seem to be emulating something of the kingly aspect of the rulers of the nations around about them. That again was a weakness. Now we can learn from both the strength and the weakness of these men. There is an importance on family life. I think that sometimes in our emphasis as evangelicals and fundamentalists, in our emphasis upon individual salvation, and that's an emphasis that we ought never to lose, by the way. But sometimes in that emphasis we overlook the value and the virtue and the strength and the God-given place of honor of a Christian family. Yes, children of saved parents need to be saved, but Christian families are special families. Your home ought to be the greatest representation of heaven on earth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.